Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Crime Scene Connection by Dina Alexander. Her writing was fiction until a killer made the danger very real. A serial killer's imitating crime scenes from Addison Keller's best-selling novel determined to make her the final victim. But with former police officer Jace Montana and his dog at her side, Addison might just be able to unmask the murderer. With time running out as the killer closes in, she must confront her past and unravel long-buried secrets, and hope they can all escape with their lives.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm glad you joined me today. I am chatting with Dina Alexander, who grew up in a small town on the south shore of eastern Long Island. She married her high school sweetheart. I'm sure there's a story there. And she loves writing. Her newest romantic suspense is Crime Scene Connection. So welcome to my show, Dina.
Thank you.
Now, as a romantic suspense writer myself, I love talking. I love talking to all these different authors on the show. And one of the questions I really enjoy asking is, what's the hardest part about writing romantic suspense? I know what my answer would be, so let's hear. What's your answer?
For me, I think the hardest part of romantic suspense, there's two things. One is just keeping up that level of suspense through the whole story. And then balancing it with the romance part of it. So You have to have a good balance of both. And then I write inspirational, so again, now you have to put the faith element into it and try to balance all three without ever letting it slow down or get boring.
Yeah, it's kind of like juggling chainsaws, right?
Yeah.
It's that tension, I think, that I really enjoy. The tension between having the characters fall in love while running for their lives, right?
Yeah.
And making it believable, making it seem like, yeah, I can see how that would happen.
Exactly.
And then adding that faith element, I think gives it that more realistic kind of place for it because, I mean, our faith really... is with us when we're falling in love, is with us when we're in trouble. And to have our characters kind of live that out, I think can be very, hopefully encouraging to our readers and fun to write as well.
Yes, definitely. It is the most fun genre to write, to me.
Yeah, and it's popular too, so hey, that's good for us. I talk to a lot of authors, and not just for this podcast, but, in general, we authors like to hang together. And I think that this whole global pandemic, and we're recording this in January, has been more difficult to write. We may have more time on our hands, but do you find that it's been harder to write during this time, or is this feeding your creativity?
I found it much more difficult to write. My mind is elsewhere. I have trouble concentrating. And then I also have now my 10-year-old son is being homeschooled.
Mm.
So it really has cut into my writing time, and I have that on my mind. So it definitely is harder to just keep my focus and concentrate.
Yeah, so how do you find time to write and find time? So how do you carve out that time?
When I was working full-time, I used to always write in the middle of the night because I don't sleep ever, so it's a good time to write. It's quiet. So I have gone back to writing during the night for a little while before the pandemic started. I retired about maybe 6 months before, and I wrote during the day while my son was in school, and it was like a regular job, and it was great. But now at this point, I am back to writing in the early mornings, writing during the night, trying to get a big chunk of time on the weekends to get a good word count in. But it's definitely difficult now.
It is, and I have four kids at home, plus the foster daughters, so it's 5 kids at home. Yes, I can count.
Wow.
Math was never my strong suit. Yeah, so, I mean, it can be crazy to find time to write. But it is, I think, for writers, I mean, we have to. I don't know about you, but if I didn't write on a regular basis, I would be cranky.
Yes. No, I do. I have to write. It's an outlet. It just lets you escape from the reality of what's going on.
Yes, that, and if I don't, I'll never have any peace in my brain from all the characters and the scenes and everything that needs to get out. I mean, that's part of it, too. So do you have a favorite spot? I know, because, I mean, again, we're all in our houses all the time, or a lot of the time now. Do you have a favorite spot for reading or reflecting about what you're working on in your house?
I do. I used to love going to the beach. And when I lived in New York, I would walk, you could walk a mile down the trail to the beach, and very private and quiet, and that was a great place to write. But now I enjoy nature while I'm writing. It makes it more peaceful for me. So now I have a sunroom on the back of my house, and that's where I usually go to read, reflect, do my writing, when I'm not working on the technical parts of it, when I'm working on the more creative parts of it. And there's snakes out there on the ground, and I see them sometimes, and definitely like them better from inside than outside.
Yeah. Yes, I think we're all 100% with you on that, Dina. Let's keep the snakes where the snakes are happy.
That's
and keep
right.
us
and
where
I
we're happy.
Watch them from a distance.
Yeah.
Put a barrier between us. Beautiful.
Although, as romantic suspense authors, I'm sure half our brains are like, yes, but how can I use that snake?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yes, I have several years ago, my husband and I tore down our decrepit back deck and put a covered porch in that we can use most of the time, and Northern Virginia, it's too cold to be out there now, but it is a lovely place to go and reflect. So I definitely understand that sunroom appeal. And it can tend to be quieter. Although, again, I have 5 kids in the house, so, you know, it's never really quiet.
My husband isn't either.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. It's great. It's great for that. So we talked about the hardest part of writing romantic suspense and a little bit about what you like about it. What else do you like to write about writing romantic suspense? What about that genre really kind of speaks to your writer self?
I think a lot of it for me is the suspense part. I just love that nonstop action. And when I read, I enjoy the same thing. I have a hard time reading just romance. When the romance works itself into the suspense, that really, really works for me.
And when you write romantic suspense, do you find that you see these, like we were talking about the snake, do you feel like you have these everyday situations where you're going, huh, now if I added somebody shooting at them, this
absolutely
would be perfect.
Even when I used to walk, I used to have to walk through a wooded trail to the beach where I liked to sit and read and write down there. And I'd be walking through the woods, and I'm like, oh, this is nice and peaceful when I'd start out. And then by the time I was halfway through, all of these stories about what could happen right now were going through my head until I have myself a nervous wreck.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. We can really work ourselves up, can't we, with the what-ifs. Way too much imagination going on there.
Definitely.
Way too much. So titles for books. Now, your newest book is, our most recent that we're talking about on this podcast, is The Crime Scene Connection.
Yes.
Do you come up with your own titles? Do you work with an editor on them? How does that work for you?
It does not work for me. I don't know. I can write a 60,000-word book with no trouble. Fortunately, I am very blessed. I don't suffer from writer's block, and the stories come, and it's great. But I cannot come up with a title at all. Most of my books are named by the editors.
Ah, yeah. And they ask you for suggestions, right?
They do. And Crime Scene Connection, I've sent, oh my goodness, I don't know. Originally, this book was called The Final Victim. That was the
first,
which is the name of the story in my book because it's about a writer. And her novel is The Final Victim. And they asked for a list of titles. And I must have sent, I don't know, 15, 20 titles, and they didn't pick any of them. They said Crime Scene Connection, which I love.
Yeah.
I love the title, but I never would have come up with it on my own.
Yeah, this is why the editors, we love them. We love you, editors, if you're listening, and this is why you make the big bucks. We hope you make the big bucks because you save our bacon with these titles, because she's right. Sometimes we get so close to it, our story, and your brain is just like, I can't, I'm done. I can't think of another title. I'll often post, you know, like the back cover copy and say, help, I need a title. Somebody more creative than me on Facebook. Help me title my book.
Yes, I'm not sure if I've ever had a book keep the title that I started with.
Mm, yeah, but we have to call it something, right? I mean, I just can't call it book number whatever. I have to name it something. And sometimes I really like them, and sometimes I'm like, that's just a placeholder.
I just look at mine as placeholders because I know full well they are not going to keep it.
Yeah.
The one I'm
and that's okay.
We
want people to buy our books, and so editors who have, they're better at this than us, sure, title it whatever you need to. If it sells copies, I'm happy.
Absolutely. I guess if I thought it was horrible, but I love the title, so I was good. I'm like, oh, that's great. You're much better at this than I am.
Yeah. I know. And they just think they have to do it all day long, but I get it. You know, I was always pretty good at coming up with headlines and titles for articles and stuff that weren't mine. So,
yeah.
Something about that can get your creative juices flowing when it's not your work.
It is so much easier when it's not your work. I don't really have trouble when it's somebody else's work. It's just my own. It just never seems to work for me.
I think we're too close to it. That's just
maybe.
My theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we just love. Go ahead.
Yeah, we just see it a certain way or feel it a certain way, and it just isn't what's going to connect with readers. It's just how we think of the work.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. One of the other things that I love about writing romantic suspense is that people die or hurt pretty bad.
Okay.
Stories.
That's a good part.
Yeah, it is a good part. Yeah, it can be a little bit interesting, I think, to research ways to kill people in our books. You know, I often think, I tell my husband, don't look at what I'm searching on Google. Or I looked up poisons today. Don't worry, I'm just researching.
Yep.
So how do you research murder in your book?
I Google all kinds of ways to murder people. I've had to Google how to kill somebody with one blow because I needed somebody to be stopped instantly. So you have to look for realistic ways because you don't want somebody who actually would know to read this and say, oh, my gosh, that would never stop somebody.
Right.
So you have to research what's real. I've researched every kind of poison, all different kinds of ways of killing people. And then sometimes I look for a unique way of killing somebody. So it's not just the traditional, well, they got shot or, stabbed or whatever.
Hit her over the head or,
Yeah, because you want something a little different, maybe a little fun sometimes. That's just kind of different. And I know my husband told me one time, he's like, you better hope that I never die under suspicious circumstances because you are going to be in so much trouble if that happens, if they look at this history.
You're like, I write books. Sure you do. Yeah, and I think what is not just how people, I mean, I can think of a million ways to have someone die, right? But it has to fit in with the storyline, too.
Yeah.
And I think that's even more difficult because you have to have, if you're, I mean, you have to have it fit the villain, whoever's the guilty party, too.
Yes. And it, even something like a woman, if you're going to have a woman be the killer, traditionally women tend to use poison more than men would use poison, or everything. Like, you really just have to look at everything so that it's realistic to whoever's reading it that this could have happened. You definitely don't want somebody to be reading it and say, oh, that is so out of character for that person, that never would have happened that way.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we are never going to please all our readers 100% of the time, but no. We definitely want the majority of them to go, yeah, I get it. This could happen. I'm along for the ride. I understand. This makes sense. You know, I'm always obsessively checking facts. Google Maps is like one of my favorites, too. I'm always looking, okay, how far apart is this? Can they really get to point A to point B? How would they walk that? I don't know how writers wrote all this stuff before the internet, and all these things at their fingertips. I really don't know how they do that.
In the start of Crime Scene Connection, they start out on Long Island, and the first attack happens on Long Island, and then they flee to upstate New York. And I have driven from Long Island to upstate New York, and I sat there with a map, and I plotted exactly how long it would take, where there would be a gas station, realistically what could happen between point A and point B, how much time it would have to happen, all of that. Just
yeah,
to make sure that it would be accurate.
Right. Yeah, and I think that your New York readers who have driven that, you know, and I base a lot of mine around where I live in Northern Virginia. You know, I had one of my friends say, one of my writer friends, she read my book. She's like, oh, yeah, it was fun to see the places and to, like, recognize them and have them be realistic and you know, little shops show up as cameos a little bit and kind of have something specific in mind. I think that's very helpful for our readers, because we want them to enjoy the escapism of the story, but we also want it grounded in reality.
Yes. Yes, and it needs to be believable. It loses something. Fantasy is great. You know, it doesn't have to be believable to a certain extent. But when you're writing romantic suspense, I feel like it's really important that the story be believable, the timelines, the motivations for what they're doing.
Yes.
I feel like you really have to be able to say, oh, I could really understand that. Even the villain, to be able to say, wow, that's messed up that they did that, but I really could kind of understand why.
Right, right. Well, this has been lovely talking to you, but we are out of time. So thank you for being a guest on my show today, Dina.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and today I've been talking with Dina Alexander, who writes romantic suspense. Stay tuned for an excerpt from her latest Crime Scene Connection.
Now an excerpt from Crime Scene Connection by Dina Alexander.
No. Oh, no.
Addison Keller scrolled past picture after picture, fear choking her.
Oh, God, please don't let this be happening again.
What's wrong?
She jumped at her agent's voice and fumbled the phone. No way could she tell Ron about the email. He was already freaked out enough about the death threat she'd received.
Nothing. Just upset about all of this.
Stay where you are. I'll be there within the hour.
No, Ron, wait.
Listen to me, Addison. This isn't a joke. I don't know exactly what's going on, but a news reporter has already made the connection to you, and the police can't be far behind. They've already questioned you once about the last murder. Do you really want to deal with them again?
The pitch of Ron's voice increased with the volume. She scrolled back up to the first image. The email contained 12 photos. In the first two, the victim, if Addison allowed herself to think of the victim as a woman, she'd lose her battle against nausea, was still alive. The other 10 had been taken after she was killed. The crime scene all too familiar since Addison had created it in her novel.
Ron,
I'm already in the car, but even in the middle of the night with no traffic, it'll still take me an hour to get there.
His heavy breathing faded in and out over the spotty cell phone connection. He muttered something unintelligible.
I'll never understand why you insist on living all the way out on Long Island.
She ran a shaky fingertip over the woman's hair on the computer screen. The same long, dark hair as the rest of the victims Addison had conjured up. Guilt hammered her. If she hadn't written that book, the killer might never have chosen these victims.
Throw some stuff together. We'll put you in a hotel somewhere if you don't want to stay with me.
He ended the call without waiting for a response.
No.
Without taking her eyes from the laptop screen, she tossed the phone onto the bed, wrapped her arms around herself and doubled over, tears stinging her eyes. She blinked them back. Crying wouldn't help. She had to calm down, had to think, had to remember what had happened when...
No!
She slammed the door on the memories trying to surface. Remembering her past wouldn't help. It would only make this nightmare real. She squinted and pulled the laptop closer. The attention to detail in the photos laid out the crime scene exactly as she'd imagined it. She had no doubt the murder weapon, a small handgun, would be found under the overturned kitchen chair, right where she had placed it in her book. Unable to tear her gaze from the screen, she fumbled a hand across the nightstand, knocking over her tea in search of the remote. When her fingers closed around it, she pulled it back and turned on the TV. Breaking news jumped off the screen, slamming into her. She turned up the volume. Details are just starting to emerge on the murder that took place earlier tonight in the exclusive suburb. Yellow crime scene tape stretched across a lawn, and cops moved in and out of the house, creating a beehive of activity. She tuned out the rest and hit the button to turn off the TV. It didn't matter. She could, no doubt, describe the exact layout of the kitchen in the house pictured on the screen, even what wasn't visible in the photographs included with the email. It was only a matter of time before the police knocked on her door again. Only this time, that arrogant detective might do more than just glare at her with suspicion darkening his eyes. This time, he'd most likely arrest her. A creak tore her attention from the computer screen. It was a sound she knew all too well. The third step had always creaked like that. And the killer had already made it clear he was coming for her in his previous email. No way was she waiting around to give him a target. She flung the blanket back, toppling the computer to the side, and launched herself from the bed. No time to get changed. She stuffed her feet into the UGG boots she'd towed off when she came upstairs. Where'd her cell phone go? No idea. Forget it. She shoved the second-story window open, praying fervently it wouldn't squeak, swung her legs over, gripped the ledge, then dropped to the ground. 10 feet. That was all the ground she had to cover before the thick woods would swallow her up. She ran. The pounding of her heart and the blood rushing through her head merged together, the thunderous noise drowning out any sounds of possible pursuit. When she reached the woods, she slid as quietly as possible into the darkness, trying not to disturb the dense underbrush. Leaves crunched beneath her feet, and she fought desperately against the urge to flee. Bumbling through the woods in the dark on the carpet of fallen leaves would only draw the intruder's attention. Instead, she slipped into the deepest shadows with a desperate prayer that darkness would conceal her presence and the stranger would leave.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.